confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hyped Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
And we cannot forget Persist Headwear. We'll soon have a great commercial coming from them. Everybody, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live, number 192. This show is going to be a great show tonight. We got Alex Speedy Corrales and Justin True, both guys coming out of the Victor Submission Academy. And then we've got Bootsy from Tough Enough stopping in to talk to us about the April 11th card. And this is going to be a great show. I don't think we should screw around too much because I got my partner in crime, the Intercontinental Champion of MMA Talk Radio, La Pache.
Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother. She burnt your monkey ass.
What's up, killer?
What's going on, man?
Ah, it's another day in paradise. Yesterday it was snowing. Today it was 65. You gotta love
Central.
See,
that's freaking rad, bro. That means that, you know, it's still ski season. It's April
yep.
3rd or 2nd. April 2nd. Damn.
The mountains got quite a bit of snow, I guess, yesterday. We got maybe a half inch down here in the, you know, on the floor, but.
Yeah, but on April 1st, were you like, is this some kind of sick April Fool's joke?
Dude, actually, we opened the bar yesterday, you know, so I was like, oh, just don't be snowing as soon as, the sun goes down. Because at that point, it becomes, you know, freezes and sticks and really sticks and. Sure enough, right at sunset, the sun started coming out. Everything turned to rain. It rained for a couple hours. By the time we threw the party, it was stopped raining. Got up this morning, everything was frozen over. And now it's like shorts weather. I love it. Can't
sweet,
go.
Dude. It actually didn't rain here today. It hasn't rained here for 2 days. It's been awesome. I even got to mow the yard yesterday.
I got to do that this weekend.
That's kind of sick, isn't it? That's kind of sick, because I'm like, it sounds like I was excited to mow the yard.
I am, because that means it's summertime, and I'm in my new house.
That's what I'm saying.
So I don't mind.
It's awesome.
Man, let's see. We haven't talked to the folks in a few days, but wow, this past weekend... From China to Tacoma, or wherever you guys were.
Lakewood, bro.
Lakewood. Ips. Who knows where Lakewood is? Everybody knows where Tacoma is. They should just keep
saying. I know
saying
where Lakewood is.
Yeah, you and eight people.
dude, I even know who the fucking Lakewood police are now, dude.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, this time it was a good thing, man. I did my good citizenship, you know, my good citizen deed for 2014 at Cage Quest 4. I'm going to bring Jeff in because he will verify that I did a good deed. Jeff. Well, apparently that's not wanting to support my movement right now.
Well, maybe
he's
we
not
should
part
talk
of the revolution.
To his wife. Let's talk
he's
to his
not part
wife.
Of the revolution.
She's the one who wrote the story on Facebook over 6.5 hours. That's how long it took to get it all out.
That was rad, dude.
Dude, like, we were sitting there checking her page, like, every 10 minutes going, come on. Then I finally was like, I'm just calling Lafaki.
Yeah, because she, like, forgot the first part.
Yeah. So tell the world what went down.
Oh, man, I'd rather
Ben
talk
Affleck
about fights,
shit.
Man. Let's talk about – that wasn't no Ben
okay.
Affleck shit, man. It was just the guy T-boned another guy. They got hella jacked up. I helped the dude get out of the car. Then the cops and the firemen were, like, retarded, and then everybody left.
You'd stepped up. Everybody else ran away. You ran in the middle of the intersection, dude. You're not a dick like everybody thinks. That was something else.
If I don't know you, I'm a dick. I'm not a dick. If I know you,
you
didn't
I'm probably
know
those a dick. People?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. If I don't know you, I'm probably going to be nice to you. But once I know you, I'm going to be an asshole.
Gotcha. That was definitely your good deed for the year. You're good. You can take the rest of the year off. You're good.
That's what I thought, you know?
You know, at the year in review, we're going to have to bring this up. You're good Samaritan.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Maybe I should send a letter to Obama on your behalf to see if we can get you one of those citizen award pens.
Well, let's keep the letters to the government on the down low there, buddy. I think you could send Carl a letter, though.
It was scary.
He
did run out into some gnarly traffic with rain and wind. It was nasty, nasty out. He didn't got no coat on or nothing. Everybody else ran away.
Then
he wouldn't even call the police.
Then I went and had Stormy get my coat, and then we gave it to the people that were in the wreck.
Yeah.
Hey, Lepaki, you just brought up Carl. You know what he sent me? He sent me a book.
He probably just sent you a message that said, tell Lepaki to stop cussing.
No. He sent me a book, dude, called The Terror, Conspiracy, The True Deception Behind 9/11 and Your Lost Liberties by Jim Mars. What is Carl doing up there in Canada?
Carl, dude, I'm telling you, Carl's on the team, bro. Carl is on the team.
I did not know he was on the team. He just sent me this crazy book.
And maybe he got that confused and it was supposed to come to me. I mean, even though you're on the team now, it took Derek years, and maybe my influence these last couple of years really helped, but
what?
You're on the team now. Don't try to deny it.
I'm like the stepchild that you get on the weekends. Like every other Friday, I go to Dad's. You know, you're the every other Friday. Like
perfect.
I understand the conspiracy behind McDonald's that you and Derek told me about how they're mass injecting the food so that the aliens will taste better than them when they come down and suck our brains. I get all that, you know, crazy stuff. Okay, I believe it. I've been to a McDonald's. There's, you know, I see it. I just don't know if I believe. Yeah, like, I just don't know if I believe all about, like, the weather station that floats around space shooting beams down, you know, and like,
what
hitting.
What do you mean you don't believe, bro? It was snowing yesterday, and today it's 70 degrees, bro.
Do you know what that is? And I'm telling you right now, we can blame it on our generation because we used a can and a half of Aquanet 64 ounce a day. We burned a hole in the ozone. That's what it is. Okay, let's be honest. People who were into hair bands and lived in the 80s and 90s used so much hairspray that we burnt a hole. That's what's wrong with the weather. So don't give me this crap.
If there's really a hole, don't you think if there was like really a hole in the ozone that like stuff from other places might fall in?
What? See, yeah, this is where you and Tom Cruise get too far away from what I believe. Okay. Now, speaking of Tom Cruise,
we could go to other places and like send things through this hole and like find out what's going on and not really wonder. There's no hole.
I don't know. Do you know what I wondered? And do you know what hole got filled this weekend?
You know that vegetarians think they're doing all this great stuff by not eating beef and stuff, but cows put more methane gas into the air than anything oxygen, or than any methane that humans could produce.
Okay, now let's for real. Let's go back to talking MMA because we're starting to be all of us are starting to go rogue show on us. Look, Rough China went down. I don't know if you guys have watched it. Rough China was off the hook. Every single fight was so good. Every fight. Oh man, and you got to watch.
I saw my guy Amu lost.
Yes. I tell you what, though. The fight between Jerson.
Body Beak Beak.
And Wang.
Oh, Jerson and Wang? Juan?
Oh, dude. Wang got... Dude, you guys are going to have to watch it and tell me your opinion. But was that fight maybe stopped a little soon by Herb Dean or not?
I don't know.
Man, you guys got to watch that.
We'll let you know.
Either way... It was going to be a TKO, but he ended up getting the KO. But I'm telling you right now, it was a good fight. These guys are slugging it out. There were some wars, brother, and there was some beautiful ground, man. I saw some great transitions, some beautiful sub attempts. It was just all around a great card. I know you were at a pretty good card yourself.
Dude, I was having a wild time, bro. Wild. It was a wild night in Tacoma, to make it easy for everybody.
Zanga! Well...
I can't wait till... have you watched all the tape of the fights yet?
No, not even close. I caught the Thomas fight... And see Sam fight, and that was pretty much the only thing I've seen.
It was a great fight.
I'm not going to lie, dude. It for me, it's a lot easier just to go push play on Rough 12 and watch it because it's all in a row, and I don't have to keep loading and searching. Because somebody doesn't know how to use Google Tag.
What? Dude, it's not that tough. You just go to Jeff's wall on his – just go to his YouTube page and scroll down.
Yeah, that's too much work. So, what was the best fight there?
Can you hear the announcer on that? On those?
Not on Sam's. Not the one I watched. Why, were you announcing? I thought they didn't have commentators. Oh, yeah.
Dude,
you
they
did
have a ring
announcer,
bro.
Durr. Yeah, durr. yeah, durr. What was the best fight on the card that you watched?
Dude, for me, oh, man, wow. Best fight on the card. And maybe the main event, maybe.
Okay. And for everybody out there, that was...
Fernando Heredia versus Ardani Mora. Yeah, that was a good one, too. Dylan Sir and Jose Hernandez.
What was the biggest letdown for a fight for you that night? Somebody turn their computer off. What was the biggest letdown of a fight? A fight that you went expecting to see just a great fight, and it just was either a whooping or they both laid an egg?
Probably
Eastman
Hoffman and Norris. No, actually, dude, the Eastman and Armas fight, that fight actually far exceeded my expectations for the fight. I actually went in and I thought that Sean would just kind of walk right through. Would probably walk through Robert, and Robert, dude, brought the battle. And at the start of the second round, I saw Robert Armas that I hadn't seen before because he came out smiling for the second round. It was crazy, dude. If you watch the video, and if they have a face shot of him, start of the second round, he's got this huge, like, ear-to-ear grin on his face. It was rad, dude. That was, like, probably the fight that surprised me the most, was how good of a fight it was. And the outcome.
Hey, let's check this. I believe this is Alex's number. Alex.
What's up, guys?
Hey, welcome to Madhouse Live, brother.
What's going on, man?
It's another beautiful day in Central Oregon. Where are you today?
I'm in band right now.
Oh, okay.
Are you sitting on top of the butte?
No, I'm not right now. I should be, though. It's nice out.
Yeah, dude. I think one of these times we want to talk to you when you're sitting on top of the butte. I think that would make for an interesting spot to get interviewed at.
I'm down anytime.
What's the best time up the butte? Has that changed? Have you increased your lead?
What did I say? I forgot what I said last time. I've been getting a little quicker. I'm getting there. After I talked to you guys last time too, I thought about what I said about how I didn't use the elevation mask, and I started throwing that on when I went up there too. So.
Oh shit, that man.
Add a little bit extra to it.
You're crazy, bro.
No, the thing I've been doing a lot lately is I've been swimming every morning too. And I don't really do that too often, but for the past like almost 2 months, I've been swimming every day. It's been helping out too.
How's that help with your flexibility?
It's good. Like my shoulders sometimes get pretty tight. Like I don't know from what really, but. Like when I lift and all that kind of stuff, sometimes my shoulders will be bugging me, and I've noticed swimming and stuff really helps, like those little muscles, and stretches you out pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I think too, man. Swimming will really help make you longer, you know.
Yeah,
and give you a lot more flexibility.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you do need that, buddy. You do need that.
Yeah.
How the hell's training been going?
It's good. I've been training pretty hard. I've been kind of like up and down with thinking I have a fight, and then something happening. So, you know, I've been training like I think I have a fight like every other weekend it seems like, and then nothing happens. So, you know, my training's been going good. I've been kind of all over in Bend, just kind of training everywhere and running, lifting, swimming, doing all that stuff. So, no, it's been good. I feel good. And then I guess I just found out today I'm probably. I don't know if it's 100% yet, but it sounds like it's probably going to happen that I'm going to end up fighting Benny at Cage
Vincent?
Warrior. Yeah.
Brother,
wow.
I tell you what, that's an interesting fight for the fans, but I'll say it right now, and I know there's fans here listening. You'll mop the floor with them.
I mean, I don't. I think Benny's going to be a pretty tough fight.
Dude, you're faster than him. You're stronger than him. You have better cardio than him. And it's
like a 145er.
It's no disrespect to you know Benny, but I mean you know as well as I do. Amateur pros, you have different levels of guys. Okay, doesn't matter how long you've been in the sport. Some guys progress quicker. Some guys have more raw talent. Some guys have more raw strength. I mean, there's just. Things. And I personally tell you right now, if today you two guys fight, it's your fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a good fight, definitely.
And it'd be great to see you back in the cage as well, I mean.
What was that?
Why am I thinking he was at 145?
Well, he used to fight at 35, I think, and I think he's fought a few times at 25. And I was going to start going out there and training at the Rose City with those guys. I was going to try to start going out there, and then it's just we've been running into problems finding 25ers that want to fight and stuff. So I think he kind of has a similar problem. So I think, you know, I think it's just inevitable it's going to have to happen. So I think it'll definitely be a fun fight.
Didn't you make a trip to California recently?
Yeah, I did. I went to Sacramento and trained with Alpha Male for like 3 weeks.
Now, their selection of guys in your weight class, how enjoyable was that to be able to go in there?
Oh, man, it was awesome. It was very humbling. It was good. It was a really good experience. I mean, they go hard down there. It's not like, and I was practicing like, you know, four times a day. Every practice was pretty grindy and hard. I learned so much in those 3 weeks. And not only that, just
just being able to, like, pair up with some of those guys in that building was insane. I mean, just the caliber of guys on the mat was, I mean, everywhere you look, you know. Sometimes when you're sparring with a guy, like, certain people, you kind of, like, you'll know, all right, well, maybe I can do this and, you know, take maybe one deep breath because I know I can, you know, catch him here for a second. But, like, everybody in that room was, like, 100% going nonstop, grindy dude. So it was, yeah, it was an experience for sure.
You obviously going down there, you said, and it becoming humbling. Did you, when you got home, realize, okay, I need to continue to do this or I need to work on that? And did it change much?
It was very humbling, but at the same time, it was really cool because I got to compete, you know, in like with a lot of good guys that are, you know, doing big things in MMA. So I got to see that, you know, I'm really not that far away from, like, you know, I know that I can reach my goals. Just cause I could tell by competing, you know, I've only been doing MMA now for, you know, 3 years. Like, I never did anything else. This is it. So I'm still kind of new to MMA, and, like, I try to absorb as much as I can. You know, I'm lucky that, like, I just kind of got, you know, a lot of people in my family are kind of athletes, so I pick up on stuff kind of quick. So, but, I mean, just being there in the room with those guys, I was able to pick up a lot, and I was able to see that, you know, I can probably eventually get to that level here soon.
How much fun did you have?
Oh, it was tons of fun. I mean, all I did was train all day, every day. But, I mean, those guys were so cool. They were all really humble guys. I mean, we'd go out to eat lunch and, you know, just hang out after sparring. It was a lot of fun down there. And Sacramento was just a cool town. I thought it was going to be kind of crazy and busy, like what you would expect when you think of California. But, nah, it was really mellow, pretty cool little town. Good food.
Alex, was training there, did you find it was hard to leave the gym?
Afterwards, yeah.
You just wanted to stay?
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you're – and then the thing is, in a lot of people that know with MMA in general, like, it doesn't take very long to, like, actually feel like you've known someone your whole life when you – I don't know what it is about MMA, but you go into somewhere and train with the same guys for a few days and you feel like you've known them your whole life. So, like, you know, a lot of those guys took me under their wing and they really helped me out and they – you know, I would show up for extra practices with some of them and, like, you know, just work on stuff. So, I mean, yeah, it was. It was kind of, it's like partially like leaving like a, you know, a cool group of like a family type stuff when you're there for, you know, a certain amount of time and then you leave and then, yeah, but no, it's cool. I made good connections while I was down there. So, you know, I can go back and do it again. And so it was a good experience.
Did you get to spend any time with Bang while you were down there?
Yeah, like a couple times a day. That guy was honestly like the coolest coach I've ever met. That guy was awesome. Super nice guy, but he was so intense. Like, he was cool, he was nice, but when it was time to go, he was serious. I mean, he was always yelling and screaming, like, just crazy shit. He was a cool dude. Like, I remember one time we were all sparring, and we were sparring hard, and it's just like, out of nowhere, you're just hearing your ears screaming, like, let's go, let's hurt some motherfuckers. Like, you know, he was just awesome. He's a cool dude.
How cerebral of a coach was he? Because I've watched, I remember him when he was on the Rogan Experience, and I've read things that he talks about, you know, where he watches a whole lot of tape of guys and really breaks down not only, you know, his guys, like, so far. Did you guys get a chance to kind of do anything like that, or was it just with the short amount of time you just really kind of focused on picking up new techniques and refining the techniques you already
had?
Yeah,
well, the way he coaches is, I mean, it's really cool. Like, it's not like we just show up and like, you know, he focuses on certain people. It's like we get there, we warm up, and he drills. I mean, we go over – he'll show the moves, and then we'll drill it for a while, same combos. And the cool thing is that I picked up a lot while I was down there. My striking improved so much just because he does so many type of switches and, like, southpaw stuff. Like, a lot of his combos is just really it's tricky stuff. And it took me a while to pick up on it. But, I mean, but like I said, with his coaching, he shows you, And then, you know, we're all drilling it, and he's watching everybody, you know, like, he's not just paying attention to one guy. I mean, there's so many good guys in that room, and, I mean, like, even me knowing I was only there for a little while, he would, you know, come up to me and talk to me and just, you know, just what I'm doing. And, nah, he was a really, really cool coach. Good guy, nice person.
Yeah, you know what I mean? With the difficulty you've had in keeping opponents lately, I think that was the best thing that you could have done, you know, to kind of maintain that growth and experience, you know, because that's something that, you know, you'll never have opportunities like
yeah.
that just don't happen every day.
No, totally not. I mean, eventually here I want to make it a habit of going down there and, you know, maybe if not just once I get a little more established and can afford to just move down there and just train, that would be ideal. Those guys, you know, there's everybody in the room's pretty small guy. Everyone's really tough. So, you know, what's that?
Did they finally settle on, are they going to bring Hominick into coach, or have they decided who they're going to have replace Bang now that he's headed out to Colorado to open his own place?
Yeah, I don't know anything on that, really. I heard that Bang wasn't going to be there anymore, but I don't know who the replacement's going to be.
I've heard a rumor of Mark Hominick for a while, but I'm not sure. I think that would be interesting because I really think Hominick has
as
far as it translates to MMA. Him and Sam Stoutman
for
Sean Tompkins up there. And
actually, I remember when he fought Aldo. He was pretty good, actually. I mean, he had some good hands. Even when he was
fighting him.
That
was, like, such an awesome fight. And that's one of my favorite UFC walkouts ever. That's probably top three is the Hominick walkout at that.
I know what you're talking about.
That UFC there. That was just wicked awesome. I think that was the first time that I'm Coming Home song had been used, and it was bad.
Right. Yeah, no, that was good stuff. I was going to say, I think I just recently saw a picture with Mark Hominick in one of the photos on, like, I think Uriah's Instagram, so maybe that would make sense.
Hey, Alex.
I heard this. I heard Bang. Go ahead, Skip.
Alex, I'm just curious. Is it the gym and the team as a whole that you found more appealing, or was it the coach? Because would that make a difference on where you would go to if you could go, to his new gym or to Alpha?
You know, honestly, like, Alpha Male is awesome. They have tons of guys, but, and all the coaches there and everyone's cool. But, I mean, Ludwig was, like, really cool guy. Like, I mean, as a coach, he's someone that just, you know, really wants everyone to do well. You can tell. So, I mean, yeah, I that's another thing, too. If I ever wanted to go to Colorado, I mean, that guy really knows what he's doing, and he puts a lot of effort into everybody, which I respect. So, yeah, I mean, I could totally, but, I mean, that just all comes into play, too, who would be at his gym if they're bigger guys, smaller guys. The thing about Alpha Male is, you know, everybody is really cool in that gym. It wasn't just Ludwig, but they had so many little guys. It was just insane how many, like, whether you were grappling, striking, full-on MMA sparring, whatever it was, I mean, you were paired in your group of guys, and they were all your size and tough.
Go ahead, Lepaki.
What was the best piece of advice Ludwig gave you?
What did he tell him? There was probably one time where he just told me, what did he say to me once? I was, he didn't really give too much advice, but he said one thing. He'd always tell me to, I mean, just like my footwork and, like, when I'm striking, how to fully extend my punches and all that kind of stuff. I mean, like, he helped me a lot with that kind of stuff. Advice-wise, he's always in your ear telling you to keep your hands up or whatever you're doing wrong. But, so, I mean, there was a lot of stuff. I mean, as they're sparring, he's watching and you're getting coached. So I know there was a lot of stuff he was telling me that I was doing in the moment that I can't quite remember where it was. But, I mean, a lot of that kind of stuff, just, you know, hey, do this, do that. And you'd be surprised how quick you pick up on stuff when you're going with guys of that caliber, because if you screw up, I mean, I had my bell rung pretty good a couple times. So, I went home with a couple headaches. So you want to pick up on shit quick, or else you're going to feel it. And I mean, that was another thing I was crazy because, like, I'm really aggressive when I fight. And, like, when I first got there, I didn't want to be that guy, like, when we're sparring. Because, you know, everywhere sparring is a little different. Some people go full out. Some people, you know, a little more laid back for sparring. So I didn't want to be that guy to, like, go into a new gym and, you know, try to hit someone hard right off the start. And I got into the boxing ring with this kid, like, my size. And actually, he just fought Benny, Alex Sandoval. And And I didn't know, I didn't really know too much about him or anything, but we started slow, and he's really aggressive, too. And boom, like, before I could even think about it, he just, you know, popped me really good. And I was like, oh, shit, okay. And, you know, like, you realize quick that these guys, they're not fucking around. They're there to fight. Like, every time they spar, it's like a fight. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Now, I heard that Bang told you one time, thanks for not sucking today.
Yeah, that was one of the cool things he said to me. Yeah, because I told him, I remember leaving, I just said, thanks, coach, and he said, no, thank you for not sucking. And I mean, that's the kind of shit, I mean, I'm talking about, he's just a cool guy, he's witty, he's funny, but I mean, he's serious when he tells you stuff. I mean, you know, like, I just remember, like, there'd be guys that show up, like, even like a minute late, and he's like, what the fuck? Come on, what the fuck are we doing around here? You know, this kind of like semi-joking, but you know he's serious at the same time. Like, get be here on time, or, you know, like, shit like that. If he tells you, like, multiple times to do something, he's like, what are you fucking dumb? Let's go, let's get this, you know, just stuff like that. So, he's a funny dude.
What were some of the when you guys would sit around and maybe watch other guys spar, which ones were the ones where you were like, wow, that was a lot of fun to watch?
You know, I didn't really get to watch too many people spar because when we sparred, we all did it at the same time. So, like, it was like you have guys in the boxing ring or guys on the mat. Like, we were all sparring. So, I honestly didn't really get to see too many guys just spar one-on-one, like, occasionally on Saturdays, we would just do boxing sparring in the boxing ring. So we'd watch a couple one-on-ones in there. I can't even tell you who was there. They were all really fun to watch, really. Everyone gets after it pretty good there.
Yeah, have you been able to continue with some of the drills that you picked up down there and bring them back to Ben?
I'm always drilling, like, a lot of, like, the footwork stuff. I'm always in the mirror working on my hands. A lot of the stuff that I learned, too, is just how to be, like, a lot of it was just, like, being aggressive, but at the same time knowing how to, like, keep your feet under you and so that you don't, you know. Because, like, I learned that I was aggressive and, you know, a lot of the guys said I hit hard and I was strong, but, like, a lot of the one main thing a lot of guys, like, critiqued me on was that I came too much forward, and like I need to learn how to gauge my range a little better so I could like catch people like on the end of my punches and not be so close all the time. So I worked a lot on like my range and all that kind of stuff. My hands is what really I thought probably my grappling was what I was going to gain the most from being down there, but my hands I feel like I improved by tons.
Oh, I bet, dude. I mean, training with Bang, man, your hands can't—they'll accidentally get better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
My hands could get better if I went down there and spent some time with him.
Yeah, they would quick.
Like,
yeah,
it would be
no
crazy.
Kidding. No, it was
great,
better.
Man.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So now, when do you have a possible date for you and Benny yet, or?
It's supposed to be. I think it's going to be on the Cage Warrior Combat. I mean. It sounds like it got confirmed. I don't know 100%. That's why I don't know if it's a done deal. But like we were talking about fighting, and then we didn't know. I didn't know if like I said, I was planning on going out there to train. So I remember I told Aaron, I was like, hey, you know, if we can get someone else, you know, I'd rather do that, because I literally just talked to the Spaniard about setting up some sparring out there, and then later that day is when they messaged me to fight Benny. So I was, you know, I was going to see if, you know, if there was anybody else, and I guess nobody else wants to do it, so, or is busy or whatever it is. So I think me and Benny are just going to have to happen. So, and I think it'll be, Dude, you know, he's got a lot of experience, too. What's up?
Have you thought about going up to Washington to, like, Matt Humes' gym? I mean, obviously they got a guy in your weight class who's probably pound for pound, you know, top three in the world in the weight.
Yeah, that's no kidding. I know. I don't know why I don't think about that more, to be honest.
I mean, he's a legendary coach himself. I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
dude, I'd like to watch you and DJ get after it. That would be a ton of fun. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You and Scott, I wouldn't mind seeing you and Scott McDonald spar either.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are good.
Dude, you belong there, bro. You belong there.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Yeah, no, Alex,
last time I saw you, we were in, what the hell town were we in? Puyallup or something?
Puyallup, yeah.
With Justin's fight, man. How awesome was that for you just to be able to go and watch one of your training partners put in some good work?
That was awesome. Justin's a guy that, like, I remember when he first came into the gym, just, like, no kind of any kind of MMA at all. He kind of just was your average, like, college-type kid. He partied, did a lot of shit. And he told me once, like, hey, man, I think I want to try to fight. And, like, I never really took much. I told him that day, I was like, well, you know, you got nowhere going out, nowhere drinking, no doing nothing like that. You know, you're just going to have to do everything I do. And he's like, I'm in. And then, like, ever since that day, I mean, it's true. I mean, he's just gung-ho, dedicated. He's like, I don't think you can find a guy with more heart than Justin. That guy will just go. You have to kill him. And, like, he's picked up on stuff. He's picked up on stuff so well. Like, I'm pretty sure he's a force. Like, I want to watch him. I want him to fight Brian Nero again for the 55-pound belt at the SDFF. Because, I mean, Brian thought he was going to have a fight like he did with Justin. And, I mean, Justin only gained confidence from that fight. And it was a close fight. I mean, he beat the shit out of me. Like, they were going at it. And Justin's just, he's tough, dude. He's got cardio for days. He'll never get tired, ever. Like, he will just keep going same pace, nonstop. And,
I think
so
he surprised a lot of people up there that night.
And that's something we talked about because, like, you know, that kid seemed like he was kind of like the hometown hero type of guy. Everyone knew who he was, and he was undefeated. And I just remember telling Justin that. I was like, dude, this kid and all these other people, they probably don't even know who the hell you are. They think this is going to be another easy match. So just go take it to him. And, I mean, that's another thing. Like, I told him from the start, just be aggressive, take it to you guys. And, like, he does it every time. He's in your face pretty quick. But something we knew about this guy is his cardio, we thought was a little skeptical. So, and it was. I mean, after the first round, he came out in the second, he already looked pretty gassed. And that's when Justin, you know, just hit him in the head, then the body, then knocked him out back to the head, you know.
Yeah, that was an awesome, awesome combo.
Yeah, it was. I was impressed. I was like, damn, I was serious. I don't think I've ever put a combo together that looked that good. I was clean, man.
I didn't know you picked up comedy while you were down in California.
What's that?
I didn't know you picked up some comedy down in California.
Yeah, no.
And you're telling jokes, you haven't thrown combos like that. Come on, man. You think we have
that was a
good
looking combo? I mean, he went to the head, to the body, then knocked him out the head. Like, it just looked clean.
Oh, so a two piece and a biscuit, not a four.
Oh, dude, it was a three piece, bro. Three piece with a biscuit, dude.
Three.
I think he went right to the body, left to the body, right to the chin.
No, he went jab to the head. He went low to the body. Guy dropped his hands for a second. As soon as he dropped it, he came up with the same right that he hit him in the body and just blasted him. Just dropped him straight back.
It was pretty, dude. The dude just went straight down. Like, right as Justin, like, went to deliver that third punch, it was like the guy turned his head just, like, perfectly sideways for him and just sized it up.
Dude, yeah, he drilled him. That was insane. That was all. And, I mean, like, Justin's arm, he was so deep in that arm bar, his arm popped. Like, his arm is still healing. Like, he's still dealing with his arm right now because afterwards he had like a baseball on the side of his arm.
Holy cow, man.
Yeah, no, it popped a couple times. So, and he told me that
that's
when
he
make came back in the, he came out in the first, he came back to the corner and he's like, shit, I can't feel my arm. He's like, I'm scared I'm not going to be able to lift it. I'm like, well, you got to suck it up because you got to go fight right now. And then he's just like, yep. And he knocked him out with the, you know, same hand. Yeah, so
that's cool. My boy.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was good.
So, Alex, obviously, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, you, you're fighting and everything. I know you get to, you know, get back to Bend. You get to hit the slopes up here this year at all?
I didn't. I'm so busy usually. Like, it's a pain in the ass for me to try to get up to the mountain. And not only that, it's just I had a season pass 1 year, and I went pretty often. But, I mean, you know, this mountain is pretty – it's expensive to go up there.
Yeah, bro, that's horrible, ain't it?
It's crazy, like, you know, like, I'm like, to the age bracket where it's, like, I have to pay, like, $500 more a year to get a season pass. I'm out of my age bracket.
Out of your age bracket. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Like,
yeah, you're not a youth anymore, bro.
No, as soon as I got into my 20s, I was fucked on the discounts for the mountain.
Well, hey, I believe we're going to be jumping the next segment. Why don't you go ahead and give a shout-out to some sponsors, let all the fans know how to follow you on social media, thank anybody you want.
Okay. First off, I'd just like to say thanks to Aaron. He puts out a lot of work, you know, managing me, helping me out. I mean, he doesn't really get anything in return. He's been helping me from the start. So, you know, I really appreciate what he does for me and all that kind of stuff. So thank you, Aaron. And then, you know, I want to thank you guys for having me on, MMA Madhouse for being a big supporter, Clench Mouth Guards, Primal Combat, Performance Labs, 1950 Clothing, Dead Gods Tattoo, Lifestyle Chiropractic. Those guys are here in Bend. And, dude, they hook it up really good. I'm always in that place, and they're getting my body all in check. So thank those guys big time. And I just want to thank all my family, friends, fans, you know, it's been a long time since I fought, so hopefully this all goes through good here, and I have an opponent on May 31st, and come out and put on a nice, exciting fight for everybody.
Hey,
Clench wants us to tell you that he's going to be at Budo, and he'll have a mouth guard with your name spelt right.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that? I didn't even notice, dude. I was bragging, like, this mouthpiece is badass. I sent it to my brother because my brother's a big Seahawks fan. And I was like, dude, look at this mouth guard. And he's like, you're missing it's spelt wrong. I'm like, what? And I re-looked. I was like, damn, you got to be kidding me. I didn't even catch it. If it was up to me, I'd be running around with that mouthpiece in my mouth in fights. And people would be like, your name's spelled with one R. I wouldn't even have known.
Too many apples.
Alex, you know what? When you see him at Budo fights, just throat punch him.
Yeah, that's what I'll have to do.
He'll remember.
Yeah. He'll remember my name after that one.
Well, brother, go enjoy the rest of your night. We're going to bring Justin on, actually, right now.
Awesome. Sounds good, guys. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks, Alex. We'll see you next week. Are you going to go to Budo, buddy?
Yeah, I'm there for sure. Actually, Bob Metcalf, he's one of the guys that's going to be fighting, so...
Oh, nice. Well, we'll see you there for sure at the weigh-ins then, bro.
Sounds good, man. I'll see you then. Later,
bye,
guys. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Justin.
Dude,
welcome,
one of
guys.
My favorite guys, man. Alex Corrales. What a great guy, man. What a great guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. Well, now we're going to talk to another great guy, another up-and-comer. Justin, welcome to Madhouse Live. This is your first time on. For all the fans around the world, why don't you tell them who you are, where you're fighting out of, and what your record is?
All right. Well, my name is Justin True, fighting out of Bend, Oregon. Also training with Alex Corrales. Just recently switched gyms, and everything's been looking up since then. And record is 4-1, so everything's been looking up so far.
And
you
have an absolute chaos title, correct?
Yes, I do. Just picked that up February 22nd, so that was nice. After I got beat down at FTFF in Portland, decided I needed to get back in there and redeem myself a little bit. So that felt good.
Now,
you had a great fight that night, bro. That was a great fight, man. I got to sit there and watch that thing. That was awesome.
The one in Portland or Washington?
Well, the one in Washington I was at, but I heard the fight in Portland was awesome, too.
Oh, yeah. Both of them were great. The one in Washington was a little rough, but, yeah.
Anytime you knock somebody out, man, you got to be kind of happy.
Oh, yeah, I was stoked. It was always an ongoing joke in our gym how I got no power and I hit like a girl, so that was nice. It shocked me a little bit. When he went down, I was like, oh, shit. I didn't know that happened.
Now, you're over there with Alex and Victor. How do you like working with Victor?
Say it again?
How do you like working with Victor?
I actually just got out of there now, so pretty stoked about that. The new gym has just, like, a great atmosphere, and everybody's, it's like being at a, I don't know, just a new town. Everybody's ready to go, and just, yeah, it's awesome. I like this new place
a lot
more.
Are you
over
at Jimmy? Are you at Jimmy?
No, not Jimmy. It's Ben Martial Arts. Alex is teaching a little bit of jiu-jitsu. We got a great Muay Thai coach. And got some guys wrestling in there, and yeah, it's badass.
Where is that in Bend?
It's, I don't know, it's off some street by Little Caesar's Pizza. I don't know. But, no, not that place. It's the guys who put on Budo fights. It's kind of cool now because, like, yeah, it's kind of cool now because, like, whenever we want to hop in a cage and, you know, work the wall and whatnot, we can. And back to the old place, you know, there's just a mat, which that's cool, that's fine. But now you got kind of a new look for stuff and you can work new stuff.
It's not called the – hold on a second. It's not called the Budo Boxing Club anymore?
I don't think so. I think that might just be on Saturdays. But I know, like, the sign out front says Ben Martial Arts, so that's as far as I know.
Yeah, I know. We know Paul. Love him. Great guy. And he's in a new location. God, it tells you how long it's since I've been to Ben, man. Oh, my gosh. Because he used to be right there behind the storage unit in that big, right in that big white building in that strip center.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's right by the Porsche dealership.
Yeah.
Yeah, still there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he has the cage set up in there still?
Yep, and then I guess they just tear it down and transfer it over to the domino room and have the fight. So, yeah, it's a pretty sweet setup now.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's a good little facility, man. They do the barbecue out there in the parking lot every year. It's a blast.
I haven't been there, but now I'm looking forward to it. Can't turn down a barbecue.
Oh, right. Now, obviously, you know, big change, you know, and you're now moving forward. You found kind of what you feel like is a great new home, and what are we going to see on tap? I know you're healing still, is what Alex said, but you got anything that you're trying to work on? Is there a chance we're going to see you this summer?
I was really hoping I could get on I had something planned for April, but got injured for that. I mean, I was previously injured from the January one and decided for the February one, I just need to get back in there and not end on a loss. So I went in with kind of a bum knee and got a little bit more beat up in the February fight in Washington and decided that, hey, it's only amateurs. I don't want to go and kill myself before pros if I decide that down the line. So right now I'm just healing up, getting in shape, tightening my game up, and then hopefully be back sometime summer, maybe fall for another rematch in Portland.
Right on. There's some great, you know, cards that are going on around the Pacific Northwest, and even now in Oregon, there's a couple of new ones coming and going, or some old friends that haven't been around for a while. With the traveling up to Washington, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I would say definitely all the cards around. I really just kind of want to go and pick up as many fights as I can down the coast. I mean, California to Washington, any fight I could get, title fight would be awesome, but, I mean, I'm willing to take anything once everything heals up. I'm itching to get back in there.
So, you know, I was going to ask you, traveling up to Washington, I know it's not too much farther than fighting up in Portland at FCFF, but was the vibe, the experience, was it different going up to Absolute Chaos versus Rumble?
I'm a guy who, I don't like hearing a bunch of cheers for my name. I like all the boos, so it's kind of cool walking out and everything's dead silent. I know, it's kind of cool when the other guy gets, 200, I don't know, how many people start cheering for him, yelling for him. It kind of pumps me up. It's a good feeling going in there and, you know, silencing everybody. So, I mean, the farther I go from home, the cooler it is for me.
I like this guy. Now, not just us, but all the fans as well, what got you into combat sports?
Honestly, it was an accident. I didn't really mean to. I just did it for a class one time, and through COCC, the community college here, and then eventually just kind of grew into something bigger. But actually, I'm on break at work. I'm on my 10, so if you guys are on later, are you guys on later at 9?
Actually, we'll be off at 9, but look, what we'll do is we'll book another show with you, brother. No worries about that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I wasn't expecting to work tonight at all, and then it kind of popped up, so
hey,
I was like,
give
oh,
your work
great,
a
I
shout
gotta,
out.
Like,
where do you work?
So, I work at Sibeli's Pizza. I'm tossing dough, tossing pizzas here.
Oh, hell yeah, bro.
Sibeli's
Pizza.
Pizza
right there, bro. I'm going to come see you for sure. All right, guys, I'm going to head back into work. My boss is going to yell at me.
Okay, guys. Hey, everybody, he's back at work. You guys, everybody go down to Sibeli's Pizza and eat tonight.
All right, and last thing, I would just like to thank my sponsors, Left Coast, Fight Gear with Aaron Wolf. Guy's awesome. Thin guy, as Alex mentioned, guy just does so much work for everybody, and Primal Combat mainly. So, yeah, I'd like to thank both them and everybody else, all the fans and everything.
Right on,
have
man.
A good night.
Thanks, Justin.
All right, have a good night, guys. Bye.
Okay, we'll be back in 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Smart.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
All right. Second hour, first hour. I didn't realize he was at work, man. That's funny.
I didn't either, bro.
If I would have known, I would have drove.
He was probably sitting in his car getting baked or something while he was talking to us on his break.
And his boss came out and he's like, dude, boss, I'm being interviewed on a show. And his boss is like, don't lie to me, son. He's like, I swear. Dude, if I would have known he's at Sibeli's, dude, we should have just gone down there and had dinner tonight and done the interview. But like, hey, dude, boss.
Awesome. I like Sibeli's.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere, too, here in Central Oregon. There's like 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, bro.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it. The baddest, coolest, newest place in town is Bottoms Up. And I'm not just saying that because the chef is sexy.
How long until my baby mama works there?
I'm going to say this, and I hope to God he's not listening, but Dan seemed stressed out last night when he came down to the little soft opening we did. And I don't know if maybe, you know, he's got, you know, some, like, personal things going, but, you know, I know Dan pretty well. I like the guy a lot, man. You know, I spent 3.5 years working for him. And I got a feeling he's not real happy that I came back to the business and I went down the street to his competitor. But, dude, he's putting a fire pit in out back right now. Man, it's going to be sick. Oh. And he's like,
the other guy.
No, Bottoms Up. We're going to have a beer garden out back enclosed, all fenced off with a fire pit and everything.
Huh.
Dude, even cooler than that.
Okay.
When he was like, well, how do you want your kitchen set up? I jokingly told him, you know, I want this here, that there. I'd love a window. He put a window in the kitchen for me, dude. I got a window. I could slide it open, dude, and, like, lean out and smoke cigarettes.
Really?
Not that I'm going to do that, but because I can just walk out the door and smoke on the back patio. But, yeah, I got a window in my kitchen. I love it. I couldn't believe it. In my life, I've never had a window in a kitchen. It'll make life much better, especially those people who work at night because, you know, and in the summer and stuff, you can open the window, put a fan in there or whatever. But it's just different when you can see the outside world. It's not like you're locked up in the kitchen. It's totally chill. Like today, I'm just cooking. I'm looking outside. I'm like, oh, look at the birds. It's sunny. It was pretty good. I love it.
Sounds pretty chill, bro. Sounds like you're kind of happy there.
And we have MMA on at least one of the big screens all day.
All day, all night. All day, all night, homie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, the grand opening's Budo Fight Weekend. You guys will be in town. Let's go down there and get some grub.
If you're down there, get wasted.
Yes. You know, we've been jumping around and we've been talking about a lot of stuff tonight. But something I don't want to miss, because here in a few minutes we're going to have Bootsy join us from Tough Enough, and I'm super excited, and I really want to focus on that. But I got to give a big shout out to my boy Lee Morrison. In just a few short days, he'll be in Russia with his hand held high.
Should be in Russia.
Can I finish my sentence? In a few days, he will
sure,
be in Russia,
sure, Junior,
with his hand held high, holding the world championship for M1. And Morat will be sitting in the corner, just broken spirit, will, heart. And the American Bulldog will reign champion that day. Big love. And I'm glad to see that the family at M1 is with you and cutting weight with you. That's dedication for a matchmaker to get in there and cut weight and hang out with you while you're cutting weight. That is great. Big shout out, dude. They're grooming that boy. He's gonna be a champ. And popularity wise, he will be a next Jeff Munson. That American fighter who came to Russia and is wanted for seminars, and everybody loves him. And I hope he doesn't grab this title and just run back to a U.S. company. I hope he stays there and gets paid Kenny Garner money, and you know, is able to build himself a lifelong career.
He loves it there.
I think with the chance of him to be able to do seminars, you know, especially after he's the champ, that door will flood wide open.
He loves it. He just told me last night he loves it there. He loves how they treat him. He's not interested. He's loving it there. That's cool.
I'm glad. It's great to hear that. And he's getting good money. He's fighting way more regularly than he would in the UFC. And they work with him. And you know what I mean by that with the season. You know, they're willing to work with him. He wouldn't get that with most promotions.
Nope. That would be great to him. He said he couldn't be happier with how they treated him. He's excited to fight under that mountain, under that hillside that you talked about. I guess that could happen here in June. That'd be pretty cool.
Dude, that's the rumor going around. Like I said, dude, they're looking at American fighters at 145, okay? I've been hearing a lot of talk and a lot of rumors about that. And I'm telling you right now, M1 thinks Lee's going to win that title. And that's why they're already talking about a June fight at Battle at the Mountain. Man, would that not – I mean, like, dude, that's got to be the coolest thing. I mean, let's be honest. Outdoors, 30, 40,000 people, you're at the base of a mountain. That is player. I don't care who you are. That is cool. And when last time, and more than likely – because the last two Battle of the Mountains, Jeff Munson's been on it. I would not hesitate to believe he would be on three. Last time he flew in to that airport there, 10,000 fans met him. You don't even see that for Johnny Bones Jones, Mr. DUI, rocking that. I mean, no. That's just cool. I'm glad, and I think this title is Lee's. I'm not saying it's an easy win, folks. I'm not stupid. This is going to be probably the hardest fight he's ever fought in his life. But there's two things that are going to win in this fight. One, that is his wrestling. Two, that bulldog in him that I won't give up. You guys saw it last time he performed. He got stuck in a nasty position, and he played calm and cool and got out of it. He's a smart fighter. And he's got amazing wrestling. Why don't you go ahead and argue that point? Come on, Lepaki. Go ahead. You take the other guy's side, Moratz.
Huh?
Why don't you play the devil's advocate real quick until Bootsy gets on? Tell me why Lee won't win.
It'll be hard to win back-to-back hometown decisions. I think Lee will need to finish to win.
Fair point. That's a great, great point. Something that a lot of people don't, they overlook that fact when you're fighting a champion. This isn't a regular fight, folks. This is for a title. And a good portion of us believe to beat the champ, you know, you've got to finish him or make it such a one-sided whooping that there is no question.
Yeah, dude, I think this is a great fight, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to figure out a way to be sick at work so I can watch.
Just put it on your cell phone.
Yeah, but that's no fun. I'm going to watch it on the regular screen.
I'm going to do that. I was at work. I'm like, dude, what's up? Can I plug my phone into there, my laptop or something? Because he'll be fighting at 8 o'clock our time. So I'll just go into work. Just a little bit early and put it on the big screen, sit there, watch it. Dude.
Smoke some heaters.
Okay. Yes. And now let me ask both of you guys this question, because I don't know if Jeff's still on the line live or not, but he's hanging out tonight, folks. Does anybody here believe if you would have told Lee Morrison 5 years ago or 3 years ago that you will be main eventing and Jeff Monson will be your co-main, you think he would have believed you?
I asked him. I asked him that question last night because you and I had talked about that, and he said yes and no. He said I'm up and coming. He's on his way down. So yes, but no, not like this.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Two different, you know, progressions of their career, but still, you're fighting with Jeff Munson. I don't care what anybody says, a Hall of Famer. He deserves to be there. He's been around this sport for so long and done so much for it. And, yeah, he doesn't – the last 4 or 5 years have been kind of rough on him, but that dude fights more than 85% of the pros we know.
Yeah.
He's awesome, man.
Dude, he is just a king, dude. If I was him, man, I would have North-South tattooed on, like, you know, my top of my hands. I guess his hand's already, you know, tattooed up.
Doesn't he have grenades on his hand? No, what's he got
on
his hand?
Yeah, so he's got something on his hands, but would that be sick to have done North-South? You know?
Yeah, but how are you going to... That would look weird because the one would have to be on your thumb.
No, on the top of your hand, like the base from your wrist to your knuckle,
like
the flat
wrist?
Spot. No, the flat spot, yeah. Right on the top of your hand. Like where I have my goat head and my dead swallow.
Yeah.
And folks, out there, you can definitely find that picture if you look hard enough.
Interesting. I think you should get a goat head to accentuate your clench custom mouth guard tattoo.
Nope. I'm getting my legs being done all outer space cowboy and Indians, and then after that is a madhouse tattoo down my other side of the rib cage, the same size, 16 inches by 10 inches. It's Clench's logo. And then that's probably it, man. I might do my chin and my sideburns, but that would be it. And I'd pretty much be out of fucking room by then anyway. That's the only sad.
More room.
I'm running out of room. It's really kind of
disturbing.
Dude,
how many guys from Washington are down at Wesley Chapel right now?
Three, I think.
Lupe, Jerome, and who else?
And Roy. Bradshaw.
Impression?
Huh?
Precious?
Lupe, Roy Bradshaw, and Jerome, right?
Yeah, Precious. Roy Bradshaw, Precious.
Yeah, Precious. Yep.
Are they? They're at Wesley Chapel fight night. Are you sure?
Yeah. And you can probably see pictures if you just go online.
Wow, dude. I mean. That's great. I mean, it's really great for them and for what, you know, for Fred, you know, I mean, he's a great guy. Obviously, you guys remember the interview. He gives back all the proceeds that he makes off these events to a wrestling club and some local charities. He doesn't keep any of the money, folks. So if you guys, but I know you guys don't follow him as much as I do, but he just signed a new deal. He's going off of Fox and on to Fight Network. So, I don't,
nice.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's a good move for him because he'll get a lot more rerun and airtime for his product. But I still think the Fox Munoz deal is smart. Right now, with them doing Combate Americas, I think that they got a niche they're about to blow up and he should have stayed part of it. That's just me. But I can't bitch because
it looks like Roy Bradshaw is the main event.
Yeah. How shocking, huh? Not really.
Are these all Will's kids?
Yeah.
In a way, yeah.
Roy's probably the only one that's really not a full-blown Will's kid, isn't he?
No, he's not, but he does get a lot of his fights through him.
Yeah,
okay.
I know that Jerome and Lupe are both Will's guys.
Okay.
Roy's fighting Marcus D'Amata. Looks like Lupe's fighting Bentley Seiler. And I don't even see Jerome on the fight card. He must be a late replacement.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, look, we're all like doing research. Everybody's on like Google right now. we're like everybody's trying to get this stuff done.
We're like, what radio show are we doing right now? The people are used to it. They're like, oh yeah, this is where they're gonna find something out.
I just, I don't know. Did you see that interview Spencer did with John Bernard, the new kid at Max up there at MFC?
Yeah.
That's another dude. Dude, that Hawaiian kid they're bringing in too. I mean, Maximum Fighting Championships is really, dude, they're starting to sign up some fighters. They got Marcus Edwards now.
I wonder what it cost. I wonder what it cost to get Hamilton out of there. Or was he just on a one-off?
Dude, well, okay, when I saw that, you know, first everybody had to go, is this an April Fool's kind of thing, you know? The fight's interesting as a matchup, but I think the only reason he's getting this fight is to keep a card for some reason they want to keep together. I just, you know, I'm not saying the guy isn't the world champ up there for Maximum Fighting Championships. I'm not saying he's not even a good fighter. I'm just saying I think it's kind of odd that they're hitting him up and they're like all out of the blue. And isn't it kind of a short notice fight too?
Yeah.
It's like, what,
I mean,
6 weeks?
One month, I think.
Well, don't forget, there's five events this month. Between now and, like, the third, in the next 30 days, there's five events.
Yeah.
For UFC. So, I guess I should look real quick and see which... I don't care. Well, we can just talk about him. And I think it's... I just
so
think
UFC
kinda,
175, right?
He's fighting is it Sole? No. Who's he fighting now?
He's fighting the Russian guy.
Oldnick.
Whatever the hell his name is.
Yes. Yeah, that Russian cat.
It's like, what, like May 10th?
I don't know. April 11th, I do know. Tough Enough going down. You guys don't want to miss it. You guys, this great event is going to be at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. If you live close enough and you can get tickets, go to toughenough.com. I believe they're going to be streaming it again, I hope.
Hell yeah, dude. $4.95 or something. It's badass. It's well worth it.
Man, they got some pretty cool sponsors, you know, when you're following them on social media. They got some really
dude,
cool sponsors.
$175 is not until July, bro. Isn't that when he's fighting him?
No. No way.
I'm trying to bring it up right now. For some reason, it's not on Will's page at all. That's kind of odd.
Maybe it was an April Fool's joke, and we all fell for it.
No, it was no April Fool's joke.
Even Anthony. That'd be rough.
What about...
That would be
going
a horrible
DJ? Hey, let's talk about DJ. Why is he off the Titan card? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I looked. I tried to find it, and as of like yesterday, he was still on it. As far as from his side, I don't know what happened. Something big.
I got
yesterday.
I don't know. I got an email. Yeah, he's hiding out. Chris, call in. I got an email yesterday. Here's the finalized card. Run with it. So we did, and that's why I asked, because a couple people said, why is DJ so mad? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I saw that email, and I was like, oh, maybe that's why.
It's a co-main event, right? Fighting Herman?
Yeah, he was.
Gone?
Yeah, but Herman's now fighting Caleb Starnes, right?
Yeah, that's weird. Why? I don't know.
I wonder what happened. I'm really dying to know what
you
happened.
You see that Rama got Tim Hague. They announced that fight today for Unified MMA up in Canada.
That's
May 23rd or May 29th or something.
I'll tell you what, I'm curious about that because I don't think Hague, other than being gritty, can really do much with him.
Yeah, Hamilton fights June 28th.
I guess it's not short notice. Oh, then hey, he's just lucky then. Yeah, you got a real camp. What about since we're talking the great machine? Does anybody here see Cormier beating Henderson?
I hope not.
I hope Dan knocks him out.
Winner gets a title shot at obviously Glover, but. I just don't see Cormier beating either Dan Henderson or Glover. It's just not going to happen. And that's why this is happening the way it is, because Glover's going to beat John Jones, Henderson's going to beat DC, and those two guys are going to fight, and they're that way John Jones and Cormier don't ever have to face each other, and they can stay happy little friends.
They're not friends. John Jones can't stand Daniel. Dan Jones wants to fight Cormier.
No, he doesn't.
You're thinking of Kane. It's Kane and Cormier.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that another guy he's ducking? How many guys is Cormier ducking? Hold on. Let's check this line because I believe we might have Bootsy on.
Probably Daniel Cormier.
Let's. Hey, Bootsy, is that you?
That is me. Here I am. I've made it.
All right,
hey,
brother.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
It's going. I'm outside here at Cobra Kai out in Las Vegas, and I almost lost track of time because I'm watching them getting ready to start sparring, and I get lost once guys start sparring. I just pay attention.
Well, welcome back to the
show.
Who
are you looking forward to seeing tonight? Who are you looking forward to seeing tonight?
Tonight, I'm watching Deutsch Poo work with the Cobra Kai guys and a couple of the Hawaiian Fight Team members. So mostly I'm just going to watch him be a giant Hawaiian hitting bags and making them fly across the room. That's what I enjoy seeing.
Nice.
Hey, Bootsy, how's everything looking for the 11th?
It's looking good, but if you had asked me that like 3 days ago, I probably would have started crying at that question because, as always, it is. I don't know how I've kept such a steel reserve going on here, but I've kept myself together. I mean, I'm sure you guys know, having to talk to fighters and to coaches and other people, that it's never an easy road getting to one of these fights. But luckily, we've been able to keep it all together. We got a lot of good fights on the card, and I'm pretty excited about it. I've been excited about this card. I think I approached you guys, right, and said, I got to talk about this card once it gets closer.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's kept up. We got some great fights. I know you guys talked to a couple of our fighters last week.
Yeah,
man, Delos and damn it, Skippy, what was the other guy's name?
You had Jamie Moyle on there, I believe, right?
Yeah,
yep.
Jamie, that's right.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
bad news. Did I see some bad news come through the pipe for you guys this week? You lost TJ Britton to a cut?
Oh, God, yeah, don't. That hurts that you remind me about it. I was pretending like we still had him, but yeah, we unfortunately, TJ, don't ask me how this happened. As you guys know, he's, what, 6'4"? And that's,
yep,
you know,
yeah,
he's crouching a little bit. And somehow, I don't know how, but he split his forehead open, and so he had to get stitches in his brow. I'm not sure how that – he said it was from a headbutt, but he would have had to have ducked down into someone, I guess. But unfortunately, we lost him for the fight with Fernie Garcia, and that's the one area right now I'm still looking for a 135er to take on Fernie on short notice, which is, of course – I mean, I can't say it's my nightmare because we still got Silos and the Invicta tournament is still looking good, knock on wood. But to lose TJ, I mean, that's a guy everybody wants to see fight. You know, just to see him walk into the cage at 135, 6'4", it's just something to see, you know?
It's crazy,
yep.
Bootsy. It's absolutely crazy. When I first met TJ when he came up to Washington and had his fight up at the Rent and Rumble, I was just in shock, and I talked to him. I've seen his fight videos, and I've interviewed him a whole bunch of times, but it was just that whole seeing him in person and sitting there thinking, dude, you're like 3 inches taller than me, and you are 90 pounds light. I'm like, how is that possible?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where every time I explain to people who he was and his dimensions, they would assume I meant 5'4", every time. They would go, oh, yeah, 5'4 guy? And I go, no, 6'4". And they go, that's not right. Clearly you're talking about something else. But so
yeah.
I had to always explain it to him, and then I'd have to show him a picture, and inevitably they would say, how the hell did that guy make 135? And I would say, I don't care. I just want him to fight for us.
Yes.
Dude, TJ is the only guy on planet Earth that could hide behind his gi belt.
Exactly. And, I mean, for someone, he's not like he's 19 years old and it just has to do with his metabolism or anything. That's just the way he's built, and that's what's so interesting about him. And maybe even more interesting was the fact that Fernie handpicked to fight him, that he had a choice on who he wanted to fight, and he picked TJ, which seems a little crazy to me. But Fernie's one of those guys that just, he wants to put on the best show he can, and he believes he can beat anybody. So hopefully we can put him to the test here, but I have a tall task ahead of me. No pun intended, given the TJ situation. But I have a tall task ahead of me trying to get someone for him.
How nice of a problem is it having a champion that wants the toughest fight?
It's a good problem, but he's not the champion yet. We still got Silos, and Silos is also a guy who will pretty much fight anyone, but would you expect any less from a Extreme Couture protege? You know, he's going to fight anybody they put in front of him because he knows he can beat anybody if he does what he needs to do.
Have you got to watch him and Boston spar at all by chance?
You know, I see Boston sparring, but Boston has to be nice in sparring because he can't, it's not like he can do what he does in the cage during his sparring classes. So he's got to be super nice. You know, he's nice about it, but what I'd like to see is Phil Baroni in Boston sparring, just to watch Baroni kind of lose it as he does sometimes, where he gets real amped up, and see how Boston handles that situation.
Dude, that would be nuts. You could put that on YouTube and get 1 million views. Sell the
for sure. I wouldn't do that. You don't go into Couture's and start taping stuff. That's for Nick Sick and Dennis if they want to tape something. If I started taping it, now I got to fight Baroni. And as much as people like to talk about, you know, that Baroni's advanced in age and doesn't have any more, I'm pretty sure he could put me out in about 3 seconds. So,
dude, he's got me
hyped
up to see him in Askren. I want to see him in Askren.
You know, I'm old school enough that I'll watch Phil Baroni fight anybody. I loved the guy growing up. He was fun because he was one of those guys that kind of, he irked people the wrong way. Some people hated him. Some people thought he was great. I was on the side where I just wanted to see him fight because you knew he'd be fun.
Phil Baroni, in my opinion, was like the first really good heel in MMA.
See, yeah, I guess that would be a good way to put it. I never saw him as a heel, though. I liked him. He believed that he could beat anyone. It wasn't that he was just saying it. Like, with Sonnen, you kind of get the feeling he'll fight anybody, but he kind of knows who he can and can't beat, or should and shouldn't beat. Baroni is one of those guys who I'm pretty sure he believes he could knock out Muhammad Ali, if he got in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
And with how hard he punches, all it would take is one, I guess, so. Although he throws like 60 at you no matter what.
Yeah, I think he was a heel more in the sense that like he would, like his brashness may rub
right.
people the wrong way. And unlike you and I, where we're like, that's the kind of guy I'm behind.
Yeah,
more people
right.
are like, that guy is a jerk. He's a weasel.
You know,
we shouldn't have this cage fighting. And I'm like, no, that's
yeah.
exactly why we should.
A lot of people don't like confidence in fighters. They like them to be really humble and really – and I'm not saying it's bad to be humble, but there's a certain mentality you got to have when fighting that you got to be at least a little, you know, almost over the top in your self-assuredness, because you have to put yourself in the mindset that when someone's across the cage or ring from you, that you'll be okay. You'll be fine. You'll deal with the situation, even when it's somebody who is big and scary. So it's always been interesting to me when people don't like that kind of confidence and almost gravitas that some guys have, because sometimes you just need that. And why pretend like you don't have it if you've got it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if Phil was one of like the, he's one of that generation where they were actually fighters more than they were athletes.
Yeah, well, he was definitely somebody who just wanted to fight. Although he is honestly one of the more underrated athletes out of all of them. He's not like, you know, a Herschel Walker or anything, but it's not like he went in there like Tank Abbott. He went in there.
Oh, no,
with,
no,
you know,
no. I'm not saying
he took care of himself.
No, but, like, if we look at a lot of the guys that are now, like, you know, there's not – I guess when I say an athlete, it's more like, you know, there's guys that have that gene in their brain that they're just down to scrap whoever. And then there's the guy that wants to kind of, like, have that really chosen path to the top, and he's really
right.
selective about who he's fighting. I guess that's kind of, like, my difference between a guy like a Brony who will fight whoever you put across from him and some guys that are like, well, who do you got for me, Bootsy? What's his name? What's his record?
Right.
What can you tell me about him? Like,
well,
that's,
I see,
that's,
for
me, that's a guy that's more an athlete, yeah. like, playing the game, and he's not really a
right.
fighter.
Yeah, and that's, I'll tell you, as a matchmaker now, I've probably aged about 15 years since the last time I talked to you guys because of how much you have to do with this matchmaking stuff and the people that fall out, injuries, all that. But one of the things I've really come to appreciate is camps like Couture's and Cobra Kai and places like that are around Vegas, because they, especially at the amateur level, they just say yes if you have a fight for them. Or if they know they can't, they say no. There's none of that middling around and saying, well, who's the guy? What's his record? What does he do? How tall is he? They'll ask that later. But the first thing they say is, oh, can I fight? Perfect. Yeah, I'll do it. And I love that attitude because it makes things just that much easier to deal with. And believe me, with this job, any 10 minutes you can save not having to haggle over things adds up after a while. Because, as I said, I am still at the gyms right now. It is late. I would like to be sleeping because I'm an old man now. But I just can't get there yet. So
Bootsy
still out here
30 and he's like, I need to be in bed at 9 o'clock, guys.
Honestly, I feel like 9 o'clock's a little late. I would like to be in bed by 7 because I got to wake up at 9. I would like to get 12 hours of sleep in minimum, just because I know at the end of the day I'm drained from driving around, talking to people, talking shop with everybody, fixing cards, calling people, making sure we got the gloves, making sure we got the thing, where are the sponsors, how many tickets are we selling, then it's just bedtime. Honestly, I'm glad that it's baseball season because I get those 3 hours where I go, baseball game's on, I can't do anything else. I can just sit.
How many
and
of those,
enjoy
is, it, is it still the 52s? Are the 52s still there?
The who?
What's the minor league team there in Vegas? Wasn't
oh,
the,
yeah, the
50s.
I'm sure it's something. I don't have time for these local teams. I'm a Giants guy, San Francisco Giants. That's what I care about.
Did you watch the Yankees and Astros game yesterday?
Skippy, if you
I
don't
didn't,
shut up.
No, I didn't because I was working.
Oh, well, just so you know, I think the Astros went ahead and spanked the Yankees really
well, that's
bad.
Always good.
So.
Yeah,
yes,
anytime someone beats the Yankees, I'm okay with that because they're just boring. I'm not interested in it. I don't even dislike
wow.
how much they suck, but I don't care. Like, I don't care about them at all.
Dude, somebody get you a beer and,
wow.
like, 20
you know,
and
I always
that's
compare,
the greatest
I
answer
compare,
ever.
You know, I've been making a mistake for years for comparing Tough Enough to the New York Yankees, as in, like, they're the best amateur
yeah, don't
promotion
that.
On the world, and the Yankees yeah. are the greatest baseball team on the planet. So, I don't know, Bootsy.
Well,
maybe
you know
be careful
hey,
there, buddy.
I'll take the Yankees' money.
Yeah. But we'll take the pride of the San Francisco Giants baseball team.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, last time I checked,
yeah. pride,
we won
yeah.
two... We won these two World Series over the last 3 years, right? And the Yankees haven't been doing much, so I'm okay with
Thank
being
you.
The Giants of MMA. But anyway,
that's,
let's get back to this this April 11th card, because that's what I'm supposed to be talking about, right?
More work. The girls
if you insist. If you insist.
How excited are you for this girls' tournament and teaming up with Invitka to do this?
Oh, man. I had been gunning for a tournament like this for, since I got the full-time job. I was like, can we do an Invitka tournament? Was probably my third sentence. And so I've been waiting for so long to be able to do this, and I'm glad to be able to do it in the weight class that Jamie's in, because I think she's a talent that a lot of people have overlooked because they look at the records and they don't pay attention to who she's lost to. I mean, her two losses are against the people that it's okay to have losses at the amateur level to those people. Tisha Torres is not somebody where you go, oh, well, I guess you can't fight because you lost a decision to Tisha Torres. And Jamie's got one of the best, I would say, one of the best sprawls, man or woman alive right now. Like, her sprawl just is so clean and so well done. When she fought Stephanie Alba, I saw her slam Alba's head into the mat with her hip on a sprawl. When you can make a sprawl offensive, you're doing it right.
And let's be honest, she's working with a female that's legendary in the sport. Once again, don't look at records. The girl's been there. She's super tough, very talented, very knowledgeable, and obviously a good friend of yours as well, and Roxanne, somebody that Lopaki spent some time with this past weekend. She's getting her ready for this.
For sure, and Roxanne's somebody that gets you ready both as far as what you need to do game planning, but also just the calming mindset you have to have coming into it, where you don't get too amped up, but it's all about getting the business done of what you need to do. And, I mean, it's hard to quantify how important that is, but it's definitely important. But, I mean, Jamie's only the tip of the iceberg with this whole tournament, which is what's great, is that I was lucky enough because of this Tough Enough brand being well known that we were able to get, and by the way, I'm going to butcher about 15 names today because I only ever read them. I never get to say them out loud. But Gianna Denizard from Texas, who is going against Jamie, and honestly, it's a tough style matchup for both girls because Denizard is somebody who is good with her length, who knows how to establish her range and uses her kickboxing, but Jamie's somebody who can get in on you and won't let you use the range. So it's all about who can establish that game and do it quickly, because you got to get in the other person's head as fast as you can when you only have 3 rounds and 2-minute rounds to do it in. And then Laura Ulleda, which I'm sure I'm saying that name wrong, but out of Arkansas, who's 5-0 right now going against Molly Wren Holmes, who I liken to, I'd say she's the female version of a Mike Pyle. And what I mean by that is that she's just one of those fighters that understands how to get the last shot in. Whenever there's a little fray going on and there's some punches going back and forth, she'll sneak in one more before you can get your last shot in. When she enters and exits a clinch, she's always adding one more knee or one more punch in there, and she always is comfortable wherever she's put. And then Ulleda is just a wizard on the ground, and that was her forte, but she's also learned how to put some striking behind it, and neither girl's been beaten yet. One of them's got to lose. So it's going to be an interesting fight to see.
Yeah, well, you definitely bringing in some very, very talented young ladies. And me and Lopaki both, and I probably speak for the masses of fans, we're excited to see this. It's something that I think should have been done and should be done maybe more regularly is some feeder tournaments, you know. Get the best
of
the best. You know, that's something you're known for. You want to test yourself at the best amateur level before you go pro, you go to Tough Enough. This is a great way to, once again, reiterate that point.
Yeah, and I'd like to make it something that happens regularly both for the men and the women and more on an official level as opposed to just, I mean, people know now that when you go to Tough Enough, you're going to be able to get those opportunities to be seen by scouts of the pro levels. But I'd like it to be something like what we're doing now, where people know they have a clear vision of what they need to do to get a real shot, no matter what the actual pro level is. Because there's definitely, you know, you span the entire range or spectrum of people who can go pro and kind of go to an XFC or go straight to a Bellator, or some guys that need to work, you know, at more local regional shows. You're going to get a little bit of everything, but it'd be nice if everyone had a clear vision of when they come here what their opportunities could be. And so hopefully this Invicta show is the first step to that. And, you know, I got to give a bunch of credit to Jeff Meyer and Jason Lilly, who did a lot of the business side of making sure that this was all going to be something we could do. Because the one thing, as much as I like to talk about how tired I get from doing my work, those guys put me to shame with how much they have to do, because that business end is not as much fun as watching Phil Baroni spar.
Right? Man.
So, I mean.
Now, you're making this card even more exciting, and then you drop, you know, a little love to the bosses. That's great. That's smart play in there. This card, I know, you know, the Invicta tournament is really an important part, and obviously the number one contender fights, but take those away. Pick me one or two good fights, maybe on the undercard portion, you know, the beginning that fans don't want to be late for because they could miss a great fight.
Okay, well, I'll give you a couple of those, but one I got to say before that happens is that we had Shane Shapiro out of Cobra Kai step up to take on Darnell Bumpus. If you guys watched our January show, you saw Darnell. He's looking like he's going to be a real strong prospect. but his guy that he was supposed to fight dropped out, I think, about a week ago. And so we had to find someone else. And Shane Shapiro, who usually fights at 145, did not hesitate and stepped up and said, yeah, I'll do it, and I'll win the fight. He said it with all confidence, no disrespect to Bumpus, but he's just sure he can win. And the guy is a ridiculously good fighter all around. And those two fighting, it'll be probably on the main card. I haven't finalized the card yet. But they're both at 1-0, but honestly, this is not a, the 1-0 does not do them justice. This is going to be a hell of a fight. But as far as lower down on the card, things that people shouldn't miss, we have a couple of fighters that are fighting out of Las Vegas. Mark Labiano, also from the Cobra Kai gym, taking on Oscar Sanchez. Labiano was able to submit a Drysdale student his last time out, so that's no joke. You know, it's not every day you get to submit a Drysdale student who is, you know, it wasn't like a guy who went into Drysdale's once and said, yeah, I'm a Drysdale guy. He trains there, and he works his jiu-jitsu there, and Labiano was still able to beat him. And then he's taken on Oscar Sanchez from the Torres gym out here. And Oscar is so good that his last opponent wouldn't even go to the cage to fight him. He just tapped out in the back room because he just was afraid of Oscar. And so I'm sure Oscar would have liked to have actually had a fight, but that's pretty good when you're warming up with your mitts and your opponent says, you know what, never mind, this is too scary.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like something Skippy would do.
No. I'm smart. I would never waste Bootsy's time or yours,
yeah,
or my opponent. I would just be like, look, I'm fat and lazy and I don't fight.
Well, if you ever wanted to hear me
in a
non-plus mood,
you'd walk out.
If you ever wanted to hear me in a non-plus mood, just tell me that you're not fighting as you're supposed to be walking out. That's a pretty bummed Bootsy right there.
Okay, you know, well,
how much Phil Baroni sparring would you need to watch to improve your mood when that happens?
Well, I'd like to watch Phil Baroni fight that kid, and then I'd feel better. But that's a little mean to that kid. I can't be too mean to that kid. Sometimes stuff's just scary. But at the same time, in that moment, I would have, if I had Phil Baroni next to me, I would have said, Phil, go get him. And then hopefully Phil would have been like the Kraken and ran after the kid. But it didn't happen, so that's okay. But so, I mean, honestly, the fight with Labiano and Sanchez is going to be earlier on in the card, but that's one people shouldn't miss. We also have a kid that, well, it's one of Fernie's sparring partners, Jerry Sano, is coming out, and he's going to fight Jacob Malili. And both of these guys are guys that like to swing hard. They're going to put on a good fight. Both of them can be finished, and both of them can finish. So that's one of those fights you don't want to miss because it's one everyone's going to be talking about by the end of the show. So, and Malili's out of Syndicate, and Syndicate always makes sure their guys are ready to go. So, and I'm sure that Fernie's making sure that his other representative is not going to be lackluster in his performance. So that's going to be a great fight. But honestly, all these fights are fights that I believe in, which is why I'm so stoked to do the show. And why I told you guys like a month and a half ago, you've got to get me on so I can talk about the show. It's not just about
the
Invicta card.
Is that third women's fight still happening, Bootsy?
I'm sorry?
Is the third women's fight still happening?
Yeah, we have two debuters out of the females. Alina Nelson, who's out of Rachel Cummins' camp out of California, against Jen. Oh, I'm going to mess up her name. I always just call her Jen. Jen Sharonbaum. I'm going to say it wrong every time. And both of them, honestly, are ladies that I'm glad I don't have to spar with. Jen especially, I've watched her, and she gets real excited when she spars, and then she just starts hitting you in the face really hard. And that's always – she's got that length. I think she's probably 5'7", and at 115, that's pretty tall. So she's going to be a fun one to watch, and anyone who's working with Rachel Cummins, you know, is going to have some skill. So I'm excited to see those fights. It's always a bit of a crapshoot when you have debuters because you never know if they're going to get caught in the lights because we do have, you know, we put on a good show, and that can be a little daunting for some people. But I think they're going to put on a good fight, and anytime we can get the ladies out there to show that they are just as exciting as the men, I'm pretty excited for that.
That was one of the things that we did touch on with, I think with Jamie maybe last week was, you know, it's kind of, when you walk out to Tough, it's a little bit different of a pressure cooker because you look out there and, like, when I go to events around the Pacific Northwest and I'll see, like, John Albert and Eddie Ellis and, you know, Jeff Hoagland and some UFC vets, But when you walk into, like, a Tough Enough event sometimes, there's maybe, like, 20 UFC guys there. Or, you know,
right.
or some, like, you know, 10 UFC guys and 5 guys that were in the UFC 10 years ago and guys from Pride. And you know, it's just a whole different level of pressure that I think
right.
only you guys
well, not
provide.
Just that,
it really helps with the advancement of these young fighters.
And not just that, but you've got to deal with that we get a pretty consistently large crowd, especially for the amateur level. And we do it in, especially at these shows for the Orleans, you're in a rather compact space. So when people start getting amped up, you can, I mean, it's everywhere. You can feel it. It's on top of you, essentially, the noise and the excitement and the anticipation. And I think that's why we end up with so many finishes, even though we do two-minute rounds, is because guys are just amped up, guys and girls, are amped up, and they want to go out there and prove it because, like you said, they know that there are people in the crowd who are going to take notice. And also, they're just being fueled by this constant energy from the crowd. And, of course, then it kind of goes in a cycle. That makes them have put on good fights. The crowd gets more amped up. By the last couple of fights, it's an intense experience, which is usually why you'll find me in the back passed out from exhaustion.
Now, you know, everything's getting real close. I know you're focused on this April card coming up on the 11th, but are you already starting to set up for the next card as well?
I got the next two. They're being set up now. May's pretty much done. We have a May 2nd card. That's going to be at the Cox Pavilion. Of course, things will change. Stuff will get moved around because I'm not lucky enough to just have what I want when I want it. It's a little unfair. But, you know, I've got right now I have 14 fights set up for May. And then June, I've got a bunch of names listed. It's kind of bad luck to try to plan them out this early. But the June show is at the Thomas & Mack Center for our 20th anniversary show. So I'm trying to get as many fights as I can get for that one. And hopefully whoever wins this fight between Silos and Ralphie Pacheco for the bantamweight title, hopefully they'll come out without any real big injuries and they can defend the title on that June show as one of the top fights. We'll also have, I'm crossing my fingers for this one, but we need Joel Champion, our 170 guy, to have a good fight before he decides to go pro. And I think Sebastian Buckley from Extreme Couture is going to step up and take the fight. So, you know, it's fingers crossed on that one because those could be two real big fights to have and ones that will keep everyone happy no matter how big the crowd.
Sweet. Well, you know, I know that you never stop going. It's 24/7 pretty much for you. Even in your sleep, you're probably matchmaking.
I honestly just had a dream last night where I was matchmaking, and then I woke up and had to start matchmaking, and it was I didn't even get any rest. It was the weirdest thing. I'm almost certain at some point I'm going to hear a story where I was at Syndicate and I was mumbling stuff, and I won't remember it at all. So it's going to happen.
Well, hey, any information on the pay-per-view, the tickets, anything, anybody you want to give shout-outs to or anything for the fans?
Yeah, well, obviously, for the pay-per-view, we're going to be you can just go onto the Tough Enough website, toughenough.com, TUFFNUFF.com, and you'll be able to purchase the pay-per-view on the day of the fights for $10. Now, I'm hoping at some point we can do a YouTube stream that's just free, but, you know, that's the business side. I don't deal with that, but I'm gunning for some YouTube time because I would like that very much. And then as far as getting tickets, anybody who's going to be in the area can get them at cagetix.com. And the nice part about doing it there is you can pick whatever fighter you like, whether you know them or whether you just like their name, and they'll get $5 off of whatever purchase you make. So that's what you can do as far as that goes. And especially for that June show, I don't care where anybody lives. They should fly out to Las Vegas. It's June. You don't have anything else to do. Beginning of June. There's nothing happening. So you just fly out to Vegas. You get to watch awesome fights. You get to see some of the future talent, and you buy the tickets, you're able to help out some of these fighters that, frankly, could use money most of the time.
Very good point. Well, you know, obviously this is going to be some relationship we have you on. We're going to try to have you or your fighters on every event, you know, and we definitely look forward to having you back on. You're always a great guest, and the fans love to hear you.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys, and I always appreciate the time. Honestly, I'll just come on whenever you guys need me, and I can talk all day. This is the end of the night, and I'm still going this fast. And so at some point, I mean, at some point you may just hear me not talk and a thud on the ground. That's just me taking a nap. So you just let me sleep it out. I'll wake up in 15 minutes and start talking again.
Well, that's happened to Lepaki on the show once before, but he snored so bad. He was just like,
true that,
bro.
Hey, I got a sleep apnea machine you can use. You probably need one. If you're snoring loud, got to take care of that. You don't want to have a shortened life just because you were too proud to wear one of those masks.
Oh!
I think Skippy's making that all up, Boosie. I think he's making that all up, bro.
I'm just saying. Pride comes before the fall. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
Bootsy, man, brother, thank you so much for taking the time out today. It's such a busy day to come hang with us.
Yeah, thank you guys very much, and look forward to hearing you guys soon, and I will try to get you any fighters you need. You just let me know.
Oh, always, brother. Thank you, man. You go and try to relax some tonight if you can.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen, but I appreciate the offer.
later, brother.
Sparring.
Take care.
Later, bye. Oh, everybody, you guys get out there, follow Tough Enough on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Instagram, Pennhurst, Pinehurst, West Calum, I don't know, what all of them. Follow them everywhere. Make sure you guys watch these events, man. Support them if you can't get out there. It's a great company, great events, great fighters. It was a great show tonight, brother. We had some good guests.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad at all.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be looking forward to talking to everybody again this Friday night. We're going to have a blast. You guys can find me and Lepaki on The Rogue Show. That's where we'll be hiding. You can find him Sunday on Clinch's Sunday Night MMA Breakdown. Other than that, dude, let's wrap this up. I got to get.
And I'll be on a new show on MMA Topics.
MMAMadHouse.com.
Coming soon.
Oh, hold on. Let me start. Say that again. I didn't know you were
I'll be breaking out a new show. I think me and Chris Gregory are going to drop a new show here in the next couple of weeks one night. We're just trying to work out a night of the week to rock and roll with that.
Sweet. You should do Thursday.
I'm thinking we're going to do Tuesday night, like 9 o'clock our time.
Your time. Chris Gregory's time? So 7
no,
o'clock?
No, Chris Gregory's time, 11 o'clock. My time, 9 o'clock. I'm liking Tuesday nights late.
Dude, he's
that's
got
after
nine
Carl's
kids.
Show.
He's got nine kids, dude.
They're in bed, bro. That way they're
in not going to be in bed. He feeds them Mountain Dew and Sprite and Dixie Pixie Dust and candy bars. Those kids, man, they don't sleep for weeks. But either way, you guys, let us know. Keep the fans apprised on what's going on. You guys can follow him at LOPATI on Twitter. Eagle.
MMAMadHouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.TV, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.